head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
This is the Rusty Satellite Show. I am your host, Rick Redding, bringing you episode number 219, 219 consecutive weeks. I've done this show. I always promise to bring you the most interesting guest. I guess it's the most interesting people in the Ville, and I've done it once again this week. I want to tell you a little bit about, in the second part of the show, you're going to be hearing about a great fundraiser that's taking place this weekend. It is being held to aid the family of Officer Nick Rodman. If you remember, back in March, there was a tragic death of a police officer when a crazed lunatic, drunk individual ran into his police car. Officer Rodman unfortunately passed away the next day and left behind a wife and two very, very young children. And I happen to know friends of his who are organizing this great fundraiser at the fairgrounds. And I will have Dawn Beal on the show in the second part of the show to talk about that and what's going on with that. A very important issue in terms of the safety of the police in this city. But up first, I'm going to have Eric Gregory, who is the top guy at the Kentucky Distillers Association. And it's very interesting. This is the week to have him on because this is Bourbon Festival week in Bardstown. I went down to Bardstown on Wednesday and talked to Eric and actually got to see the end of a Hall of Fame ceremony where they were inducting Bill Samuels into the, Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame. And certainly, if you've ever met Bill Samuels, you know he's quite a personality. It was a great event. And hopefully I can get Bill on this show in a coming week. I hope so. So anyway, that's what's in store for you on the show. First, I want to tell you about my sponsor. It is Passport Health Plan. They are doing great work. And this week, as I've been telling you, this week was the opportunity to meet Mark Carter, the CEO of Passport, who spoke at our Breakfast of Champions event. It was a great success this time. We had over 50 people there and listened to Mark talk about Passport's move to the West End and why it's so important and why it will be, the word used several times during the presentation was a transformative event for West Louisville. West Louisville's taken it on the chin in a lot of ways in recent years, and people talk about how the West End is got its bad reputation, sort of deservedly so, because of all the crime that takes place and shootings that take place down there. Well, this is good news. This is a good thing for West Louisville, and it's coming. It's coming. There may be a groundbreaking soon, and by 2019, 500 employees will be moved into a building that is yet to be constructed in West Louisville. We got a glimpse of some of the drawings, etc., of the building, and it looks great. It looks like it's really going to make a difference down there in the West End. So thanks to Passport for being a part of this show and being our sponsor. I'm looking forward to great things coming from the folks at Passport. So anyway, the main thing we're going to talk about this week is bourbon, and Eric Gregory is with me on the show, and I tell you should listen in. There is a lot to learn. It's amazing the growth of the industry and how his office alone, when he started 10 years ago, he had a part-time assistant. Now he's got 7 full-time staffers on his team at the Kentucky Distillers Association. They had 6 distillery members. Now they've got some 35. It's a fantastic growth story of the tourism boom. A lot of the hotel building, a lot of things that are going on in Louisville are the direct result of the bourbon boom. And in fact, I think it was a week or 2 weeks ago, it was announced that the Kentucky Bourbon Trail starting spot had been it was announced that it was going to be at the Fraser Museum. And if you're a longtime listener to the show, you remember Andy Trinan was on this show and talked about that. That may have been over a year ago that he brought that up. So it's coming to fruition, and a lot of good things are happening there and elsewhere in town. So there's a lot to keep track of. It's a very exciting thing. Now, after my interview with Eric, I'm going to come back and tell you about all the things that are going on this weekend, plus a couple of new news items that interest me and I think will interest you. So it's all great. Now, Eric, interestingly enough, I guess the most interesting thing I found out, he went to UK. He's a little bit younger than me, and got the job with the Distillers Association with no actual professional experience in the bourbon industry or spirits or the spirits industry, but he did work at a liquor store in Lexington while he was in school. So anyway, you know, when you get a job like that, you never know when the knowledge that you gain in some menial job that you have or minimum wage job that you have may become something that will aid you again later in life. So you know, keep taking all those crazy courses at college, right? All right. I'm going to get out of the way here. Here is my interview with Eric Gregory. I'll be back right after that.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind. So I did. Now my mom, she can chill. And I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
And we're here in the bourbon capital of the world, right, Eric Gregory?
Yes, Bardstown, Kentucky. The Kentucky Bourbon Festival are kicking off this week.
Man, I've just sat through an amazing event. You had this room was literally packed to the edges for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
and
our biggest one ever.
I can't imagine it being bigger. So this great event, Bill Samuels was the Lifetime Achievement Award. That was a big
deal. Yes, very well deserved. You don't get a better ambassador for the industry or our Commonwealth than Bill Samuels. He has done so much for the state, not only for bourbon, but for education and healthcare and business and things like that. Okay. Well-deserved award.
Okay, and you're the top guy at the Kentucky Distillers Association, and you know, I kind of like to have a job like that. How do you get there?
Right place, right time. And I know that's
I think you're going to give hope for all us journalists out there who don't like being journalists.
I literally, my career started at the Lexington Herald Leader, where I was a journalist, and then I moved into public relations and political campaign consulting at a Lexington firm. And then one of my clients at the firm was the East Kentucky Power Cooperative. And they hired me on in 2000 to be their lobbyist for state government affairs. And that really kind of helped round out my career, because I got to experience, they're not a nonprofit, but it is member driven, obviously, with all the cooperatives around the state. And so in 2007, when Ed O'Daniel retired as president of the KDA, they opened up the job and they said they want somebody with media experience, public relations experience, and lobbying experience. And I was like, pick me. And I love your product, you know. So,
well, it helped that you had experience working at a liquor store.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes. I loved my days at Travel Strip Liquors in Lexington. I worked there in college, and it was the last liquor store before Keeneland. Okay. And I got to supplement my income by getting a lot of good track tips. But also, that was the time in the 80s when bourbon started coming out with a single barrel and small batch. I remember the day we got the first case of Blanton's in. And we thought, who in the world's going to pay $35 for a bottle of bourbon? But that thing went flying off the shelf. Yeah. And then comes Knob Creek and Booker's and all the small batch players and Jim Beam. So we had to really educate ourselves at the liquor store to learn what was the new hot bourbon out there. And I became, I'm from Kentucky. I grew up with bourbon. It's our birthright. But I really had to become an aficionado, and I've been a bourbon geek ever since.
Yeah, yeah. And now, in your position with the KDA, I mean, it's tough for us people out here just to keep track of all the new distilleries, right?
It really is, yeah. I mean, and the scary thing is Kentucky ranks 11th in the country in the number of actual operating distilleries. Now, we still produce 95% of the world's bourbon, but places like California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, New York, Texas, they have more distilleries than Kentucky. Some of them twice as many distilleries in Kentucky.
Wow.
So when I started KDA in 2008, we had six member distilleries. And now we have only six, and now we have 35, and there's another 15 under construction.
Wow.
So we'll be, you know, in the 50s, but still on the pecking order as far as other states are concerned, we got a lot of room to grow.
Bourbon boom indeed. You know, I know the Bourbon Festival is going on, and you know, there's a lot of things going on in Louisville this weekend, but why would somebody come to Bardstown?
Well, you can experience so much down here. I mean, there's so many different activities, bourbon-centric, great events, and this is actually the place where kind of the whole bourbon community convenes every year, even the master distillers. Like tonight we have the All-Star Sampler. It's the only time of the year you have all of our master distillers under the same roof, because they're rock stars, as you know. They're traveling around the world these days. You know, so they mark this day on their calendar. So you're going to get to see these bourbon celebrities all week here, really get immersed in bourbon cooking, you know, vintage bourbons. It's really an incredible week in Kentucky.
Wow. So there are, I guess, there must be thousands of, like, bourbon fans in Kentucky who just want to come rub shoulders with these guys.
Yeah, yeah. This is the place to do it, and this is the time to do it. We'll have about 600 people tonight. It always sells out, and people will bring in – it's hilarious. People will bring in stuff and get autographed by all 10, 15, 20 master distillers. They'll bring in bottles and paintings, and I saw a guy bringing a bourbon bottle lamp one time. You know, I mean, it's all this crazy stuff, because they can just literally go from booth to booth, sample the bourbons, get pictures, get autographs with these rock stars in our industry, and see everybody at the same time. Same thing will happen Saturday night at the gala, and then each individual distillery kind of hosts their own event during the week. So you can, like you said, you can sit at a table with, you know, Fred Ngo and, you know, drink Jim Beam and talk to Fred, which is, if you haven't done it yet, man, you got to do it, because he's an incredible character.
There are a lot of eccentric personalities like Bill, that's
why we got some good stories today.
We sure did. I want to ask you about skipping ahead, because it's a new event, Bourbon and Beyond.
Yeah.
You guys are working with that group.
Yep.
And I guess it says a lot about bourbon just that, that kind of a festival is coming to town.
If you'd have told me 5 years ago we were going to have a huge music festival with, you know, focusing on bourbon, I probably would have laughed at you. Nowadays, we've got Bourbon and Beyond. We've got Four Castle does it too, you know, in July. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think it's really helpful for Kentucky and especially Louisville that all these events are, you know, coming here, because that's tourism dollars.
Sure.
You know, we're very proud of the industry here in our Kentucky Bourbon Trail tourism experience, but to have these kind of spin off now, that's room nights, that's people eating in the restaurants, shopping store. Man, that's great money for our communities.
And the KDA, your organization, what role do you play? I mean, certainly you've got a lot more spotlight because popularity of bourbon.
We're riding the amber wave.
Yeah.
We're kind of the air traffic controllers of the industry, really. I mean, our mission is to promote, protect, and elevate our signature bourbon and still spirits industry. But really, we're kind of the uniters as well. We've been around since 1880, and that's when a group of distillers got together, actually in Louisville, and decided they could do more working together than standing apart. And that's been kind of our mission for now 137 years. So we obviously have a board of directors, but we've got committees and things like this. And these representatives of the distilleries, they come in, they take off their brand hat, and they put on their industry hat. And they just, you know, let's do what's best for the industry and what's best for the state. And I think it's really unique that camaraderie among the industry. And I think it's a big part of the success, too. As Bill Samuels mentioned today, hey, everybody's working together. You know, this is the reason that we're being so successful.
Yeah. But and it seems like, you know, everybody's happy when things are booming. But I guess it hasn't always been like this.
No. 70s and 80s, bourbon took a downturn when people started enjoying clear spirits. Mm-hmm. Vodka, gin, rum, tequila, places like that. Bourbon was your dad's drink, or worse, your grandfather's drink. And it just wasn't cool to drink bourbon. And plus, you know, I think the distillers will be the first to tell you, we were putting out good products, but not the great bourbons like we have today with the single barrels and small batches. And so taste changed. And it wasn't until the 80s and the 90s when we started seeing a pickup with these great, again, single barrel and small batch bourbons. That we really started kind of hitting our stride. And then comes the 2000s with the cocktail culture, what we call the Mad Men effect, where people see Don Draper on TV ordering an old-fashioned, invented in Louisville at the Bananas Club, and they go to the bar, and I want to drink an old-fashioned like Don Draper does. Next thing you know, all these classic bourbon cocktails like the Manhattan and the Sidecar and even the Julep are in vogue again. And you go to the top bars in Washington and New York and San Francisco, and they're serving on these classic bourbon cocktails. So it's really been an amazing success story.
It really is. Now, did you say 15 new 15. Distilleries in the state
under construction or just announced?
Wow.
And you know, here's the crazy thing: we have all these bourbon executives in the room today. I had a couple of them pull me aside, and they said there are three more to be announced here in the next couple of months.
Wow!
And they said, you know, we need to embrace them and go talk to them.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, bring it on. We've got room to spare.
Well, we can break that news on the Rusty Satellite Show. What are they?
Sworn to secrecy.
Okay.
I haven't even met them yet.
Well, so. Given our Louisville audience, what in Louisville is coming?
Oh, my Lord. Louisville is leading the way. You've got Rabbit Hole coming. You've got the Michter's. Michter's is already there in Shively, but they're renovating the historic Fort Nelson building downtown on Whiskey Row. You've got the Old Forester experience, which is going to be absolutely incredible right there by Slugger. Angel's Envy just opened a few months ago, and that's a fantastic distillery and a homegrown Louisville brand. You've got Peerless. I mean, Louisville has more Kentucky bourbon trail experiences than any other community in the state. So you've got a lot coming.
That's all keeping you busy. I would imagine your job has picked up in intensity.
It has. We're very fortunate to have a very generous board of directors and a very visionary board that has allowed the association to grow as the industry grows. When I came on in 2008, I was able to hire an assistant at the time. And now we're a staff of seven. So in 10 years, we have, you know, what is that, more than quadrupled our staff. Now we have somebody running the Kentucky Bourbon Trail full-time. It's a full-time job. Our Kentucky Bourbon Affair, Bourbon Fantasy Camp, we just hired a full-time director in Louisville for that. We hired a full-time director for social responsibility because it's such an important part of what we're doing. We're out there promoting the bourbon gospel 24/7. We also need to be providing the balance on that. You know, we need to consume bourbon responsibly and in moderation. So that's a big part of what we're doing.
Yeah, interesting. You say a full-time staff position for that. What kind of stuff is involved there? I mean,
Allie, she's doing a fantastic job. She does everything from work for the distilleries to make sure they're all on the same page, like checking IDs. We're putting out public service announcements to show that responsibility is actually a key part of the bourbon culture. She's working with the State Highway Association to make sure that we're in the state police doing all we can to target drunk drivers.
Okay.
Schools to teach, you know, alcohol education, not just bourbon, making sure that kids understand they shouldn't drink, you know, until they're of legal age. All sorts of policies and procedures. She's actually developed a best practices manual for our distilleries that they're all working together on to make sure that we have responsible events.
Now, I want to get one more topic with you. I remember in the legislature, either last year or the year before, they passed this law that allowed distilleries to serve as
Senate
bars,
11.
Basically,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. On their presence. How are the distilleries doing with that?
Boy, it has changed our industry. And the reason we did that was because we want to be like Napa Valley. You know, you can come to a winery or a brewery in Kentucky and buy a beer, but you never come to a distillery and actually buy a cocktail. And nobody knows their bourbon better than the people who are making it there every day.
Sure.
And so we got a lot of people coming here and, you know, from out of state and from foreign countries, and they want to know, while I'm here, I'm going to try a mint julep or something, you know.
Sure.
And so it's really transformed the industry, and now you see distilleries building restaurants. They're not really a bar. It's more educational. Mm-hmm. But they're building restaurants, and now they're teaching cooking classes with bourbon at their restaurant. A lot of them are talking now about building B&Bs on site. So the visitors who are coming are becoming much more educated. They want that full immersion. And by having a bar there where you can teach them how to make the perfect old-fashioned, or you can teach them how to, you know, make a mint julep or something like that, it's all part of the experience.
Yeah, but I guess when I first heard about the law, I thought, well, these guys are going to open up these big bars and have bands and
You got some events going on. I mean, there are some events. You know, and think about it. Because obviously Louisville connection, yes, there's so much going on anyway. But you go out in the state, some of these distilleries, you know, in other counties like Christian County in Hoptown, we've got two fantastic distilleries there, and the distilleries are very much focal points for tourism down there. So on Saturdays, they do have a band there, you know, and they'll come and they'll play. MB Rowland calls it Picking on the Porch, and they'll have a couple hundred people come that night, put on a blanket, you know, they'll teach you how to make bourbon slushies. You know, things like that. It's really a tourism issue for them. So, you know, but then you've got like Jim Beam Urban Stillhouse downtown, which wasn't going to sell cocktails. And now at night it will have cocktail classes and teach you how to make those perfect cocktails. So it's really more educational and training than it is just come and have a drink. Now, the one thing I will say is that the tourism side is so packed Now, sometimes during peak seasons, you might be waiting an hour or so to get on your tour because you drop in, the tour is filled. So now you can enjoy a cocktail and sit on the porch and just kind of take in our southern hospitality and obviously the picturesque views of the distilleries while you're waiting for your tour.
There you go. There you go. Well, we all need to drink while we're waiting.
Right. So, responsibly, yes.
Anyway, yeah, drink responsibly. So it's really amazing, and I'm glad I got to catch you during Bourbon Festival.
It's an honor. Long time listener, first time caller.
There you go. Well, we'll enjoy some of the signature drink while we're in Bardstown and all weekend and all year. Awesome. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hi, this is Alec Vols, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With Chris Anger and Brian Hines and Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am. in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right. Thanks to Eric Gregory for taking time out of his busy schedule. And he does have a busy schedule this week with the Kentucky Bourbon Festival going on in Bardstown. Go on the I suggest that you go online and look at all the events that are going on down there and make your way down to Bardstown. It's a pretty cool place, and there's a lot of good stuff going on this weekend with the Bourbon Festival. But this weekend, you may have other plans. There are a lot of other things to do. If you don't have plans to do something this weekend, you're not really living in our fair city, because there's just a lot going on. I would normally talk a lot about the Gaslight Festival, which takes place right down the street from my house in J-Town and is expected to be as big as it always is. There will be some great live music. I think it'll be better this year because of all the new businesses that are coming to the square in J-Town. You remember I had Corey Sims on the show a few weeks ago. He was a little bit nervous about being able to be open by September 8th. Well, they made it, and Max Dough House is thriving and getting record crowds. I went in there to eat the other day, and the line was just too long. I didn't so I haven't been there yet for food. I want to get one of those that spicy mac and cheese that he talked about here on the show. But I'm anxious to see what's going on down there. There'll be a lot of live music at the Gaslight Festival, and it's Friday and Saturday night. Of course, Saturday night it'll have a big conflict, because at least for me, because I'll be at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium for the game between the Louisville Cardinals and Clemson. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But the other big thing that is kind of overlooked, and it's Saturday night, and before they changed the time of the game, I know some folks who had planned to do the football game concert double with Bryson Tiller. And if you don't know that name, he is a national recording artist who happens to be from Louisville, who happens to be from my high school, Iroquois High, and if any of his people are listening, I'd love to have him on the show. But he is playing at the Yum Center on Saturday night. Tickets are around $36. And, you know, what a great success story out of Louisville, Kentucky. I think you're going to be hearing a lot more about Bryson Tiller in the next few years as one of those Louisvillians who made it big on the national stage and has become a really well-known musical artist. So isn't that great? Before we talk about the game, I'm going to tell you two stories that I know you want to hear from me. Everybody sees me and says, hey, you know, I want to know what's happening with Dan Johnson, right, on the Metro Council. Well, Dan has there was a story in the Courier, and thanks to the Courier for keeping up with this, with all the doings of Dan Johnson. But Dan is going to ask the Metro Council this week to censure him rather than having him go through a trial and ultimately that ultimate result would be an expulsion from the council. For Dan. Now, my theory on this is that Dan is doing anything he can to save his job because he needs the $40,000 salary that he makes over there, and he wants to, he is not going to resign no matter how much pressure anyone puts on him because he needs that paycheck. That's pure speculation and opinion, folks, but anyway, that's what Dan is doing at the Metro Council at this week's meeting. He is going forward with formally asking the council, which has formed a committee to impeach him, so to speak, expel him from office, and he is going to ask for a censure that would allow him to be basically slapped on the wrist and remain in office and collecting his salary. So anyway, that's your Dan Johnson update. Interesting to see how that turns out. Of course, we'll keep up with it here on the Rusty Satellite Show. I also like to talk, I guess this really irks in politics. You know, a lot of things are sort of going the other way these days in terms of opinion, in my opinion of them. But the governor this week, he came out and is trying to tell colleges what majors they should be offering. He's trying to give advice to schools, universities, about what courses they should offer, in fact telling them that they should drop courses that don't lead to meaningful employment in his mind. What he calls, he thinks if it's not a high wage job in that going to college is kind of a waste. He said, he was quoted. He said, there's plenty of people sitting around in their basements with degrees trying to get minimum wage jobs and he used interpretive dance as his example of a worthless, what he considers to be a worthless major. And he even knew when he made the statement, according to the story I read in the Herald Leader, that he would be criticized for this, but I think we're just so tired of, as a populace, we're so tired of criticizing government for the governor for stupid statements like this, that it really doesn't create that much of an uproar when he says something like this. Schools will offer degrees as and courses of study as long as people sign up to take them. Okay, and the governor can't dictate to a university what curriculum they offer. State money doesn't control the schools, and I can't remember which president was. One university president sort of dismissed it. I think most of them, at least in terms of the media, ignored what Bevin said. But Bevin thinks that you shouldn't go to college unless you're going to pursue a degree that will get you a high wage, high demand job. So you got to major in engineering or math or the popular majors that will result in high paying jobs. Now, I have perfect examples of that in my own life. My son Nick, who I'm very proud of, is in Italy studying theater now, and I'm sure that Bevin would scoff at the notion of someone trying to make a career in theater. But Nick is doing very well, and he will graduate with an advanced degree from a school in Italy this year. So good for him. And then my son Josh, he has, Bevin would be proud of him because he got an engineering degree at UofL at the Speed School, moved to Denver, works for Google. He'd be perfectly all right in Bevin's book. So anyway, and I'm so proud of my son Luke. He just started as a freshman at JCTC downtown, and I got to read one of his pieces that he wrote for a class about Reddit, the website. Luke is a big fan of Reddit, and I didn't know anything about it until I read his essay, and now I do. Now I might check out Reddit. You never know. It's interesting to see his development in terms of the way he thinks and all that. So very happy to have him in school and doing well. All right, the game. The big game, U of L and Clemson. Game day is here. Now, I'll tell you, I failed. I tried to get Kirk Herbstreit on the show or someone else from ESPN's game day. I didn't get that done, but there's a lot of news. If you don't know, the big news coming out of U of L is game day is going to take place in that at near Grawemeyer Hall, that big open grass area right off 3rd Street. And it will be quite an opportunity for fans to come and make your homemade signs, make sure they're funny and cool, and gather around in the morning. I think game day, the show is live up until, I don't know what time it starts, but I know it ends at noon. And Kirk and Desmond Howard and all the guys will be there. And the big speculation is who the guest picker is going to be. Now, this is the second time that College Game Day has come to U of L, and the first time there was no one. They did a great job of keeping a secret of who was going to be the guest picker, and the guest picker is a part of the show where a celebrity comes on with a connection to the location and joins the guys on stage and picks winners of college games that they go through. That's a big part of the show. Show's very popular, And the last time it was Lalia Ali. I may be pronouncing that wrong, but Lila Ali, she's a daughter of the champ, of the greatest, and she is a boxer herself, and she was the guest picker. That was a big surprise and a little disappointment. Now, I saw a website that basically had an opportunity to vote for who you think the guest picker should be. I'm torn between, I'd like to see Teddy Bridgewater come back. Teddy is missing. I saw the Vikings play the other night, but Teddy is hurt and can't play. He would be a natural choice to come into Louisville and be very popular as the guest picker on the show. I wouldn't be surprised also, and I think this would be probably the best in terms of interest from the world, in Jennifer Lawrence. They always think Jennifer Lawrence is going to come back for this. She was the big name last time when that happened, and Jennifer Lawrence, the actress, would be a swell pick for the guest picker. I think an outside shot might go to, because he is playing a concert at the Yum Center that night, Iroquois High grad Bryson Tiller, national recording artist. He could very well be the one. They have had, I know that they had a country artist on 2 weeks ago. I was watching College Game Day, so that could happen. Another big announcement out of U of L, you'll see. I'm not focused on the game as much, but there's going to be an announcement in town this week from U of L about the Johnny Unitas statue. You know, there's a lot of construction going on. They're going to close in that part of the field, the north end of the stadium, and the big question has been, what's going to happen to the great Johnny Unitas statue that is in front of the football complex there in the north end? And I haven't confirmed this, but I believe they are going to move it up at the party deck on the plaza, the party deck on the south end somehow, where he'll be looking over the field. And that would also be a great spot. I think it would get a lot more visibility there because people could come up very close to it and touch it. So watch for that announcement. You'll probably hear about that before you hear this. But anyway, that's one thing that's happening with U of L. You know that, it always amazes me. I'm getting old. Yes, I know. But young people, what they don't know, and I shouldn't be surprised, because people, generally, if you're 20 years old, you have no reason to really know who Johnny Unitas was. Although, I grew up and he was still playing when I was growing up, and I knew all about Johnny Unitas. He's the most famous player ever to be involved with the University of Louisville, even way before U of L became a football power. And I was giving somebody a ride the other day, a student, and she lived in Unitas Tower over there on campus and did not know who Johnny Unitas was. So there you go. So I got to tell her who Johnny Unitas was. Left a lasting impression for her, I am sure. But anyway, that's the game is at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. It was moved first of this week to be the feature game on ABC's national broadcast, and it's the best spot to be in college football. I believe Clemson is favored to win, although I think this is the time. U of L has been close, has not been able to beat Clemson. Clemson's ranked third in the country. U of L is 14th, and but Lamar Jackson, he has that extra something, that special sauce. And if you've been watching him play, he's just gotten better this year in the first two games against Purdue and North Carolina. Just spectacular. Just spectacular player, a special player. I think that Lamar will set things on fire in there. I think it'll be a high-scoring game. Despite Clemson's vaunted defense, et cetera, I think it'll be a high-scoring game in the 40s or 50s. And I like the Cards to win in the end. They lost by 6 last year, a very close game, and in a game that really determines the winner of this game has a great shot to get right into the national college playoffs. So that's very important part of the thing. So enough about football and all that. That's the big thing that's going on. You're going to hear about no matter what you're doing in town. They're going to be talking about that. But you remember a few weeks ago I had Roscoe Goose on here. He's a member of the Juggernaut Jug Band, and that event is this weekend on Saturday. So you should certainly a Saturday afternoon. That'd be a great thing to go down to the waterfront, and they've got all kinds of things for kids to do and listen to some jug band music. That's something big going on in town. There are several other big events going on in addition to the Bourbon Festival in Bardstown, the Gaslight Festival in J-Town, and I think the Kentuckiana Pride Festival is going on down in the Highlands. There's going to be some streets blocked off, so be aware of that. So I tell you, it's just a great time to be in Louisville and having things to do. So anyway, that's enough from me. I'm going to get on to my interview with Dawn Beal, and Dawn and I go back to when our kids, Josh, was a played baseball with her son Rick, not Rick, Chris. Her son Chris. Rick is her husband, but they were very close to Officer Nick Rodman, and it's a very tragic story about how he died in the line of duty. And unfortunately, Officer Rodman was only 3 years on the police force, so he didn't have he didn't have booked up a bunch of savings or pension or stuff that is fully taking care of his family. But the police community has gathered together, and this Saturday night at Friday night over at the fairgrounds, they're going to be a big, big event. There's going to be, I think she thinks maybe 1,000 people will show up. You can still get tickets for like $10 and go. They're going to have music and food and auctions and all kinds of great stuff, all benefiting Officer Rodman's wife, Ashley, and her two young children. So, anyway, listen into this this thing, and we talk a little bit about the police and how difficult it is to be a family of a police officer, and the special challenges that those people face. So, anyway, here's my interview with Dawn Beal, and I'll be back right after that.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. Comes out on Louisville.am.
All right, today, the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm with an old friend, Dawn Beal, who, Dawn, we go back to our kids in Little League. Many years ago, right?
It's been a long time.
It has, but certainly it was nice to see you again in this occasion. I heard about this fundraiser for Officer Nick Rodman, and you're an organizer of that. Tell me what's going on.
I am. I'm a friend of Ashley Rodman, Nick's wife, and also a close friend of the Rodman family. My husband also worked with Nick Rodman down in the first division. They were beat partners. So that's how I kind of became involved and decided to go ahead and try and organize a benefit for Ashley and her kids.
Okay, and for our listeners who don't know, tell me the story of what happened. You know, Officer Rodman was tragically killed in an incident this spring, past spring.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about what happened.
So on March 28th, Nick was responding to a domestic violence run call, and he was struck by an individual. Tragically, he succumbed to his injuries the following day on March 29th. So, Nick is no longer with us. He leaves behind his wife, Ashley, and at the time, he had a 2-year-old son and a 4-week-old daughter that he's left behind.
It's very sad. I know in response to that, of course, there's been a lot of outpouring of support from the police community and several fundraisers for the family. Tell me about the, you know, you've helped organize these fundraisers and the money's needed, right?
Right. So we've had a lot of people come forward from the community, and the Rodman family is very grateful to all of them. We've had a lot of restaurants hold fundraiser nights. I know Chick-fil-A had a huge fundraiser. They had all of their Chick-fil-A stores all over Kentucky and donate a portion of the proceeds on May 15th, which was National Police Officer Day. So I decided to go ahead and at the time start organize a benefit on a larger scale. We had an officer also from LMPD, Jason Schweitzer, who was killed by a drunk driver as well back in October. And so we held a huge fundraiser for him in January. So that was still fresh in my mind, so I decided to go ahead and pursue this one for Officer Rodman's family.
Okay, okay. And that family, those two young children and a wife, and Officer Rodman, I understand, hadn't been on the force really long enough to get a lot of the benefits that he might have gotten.
Yeah, that's correct. Nick had been on the force for 3 years, so he wasn't fully vested. And so we just wanted to do something on a larger scale to help Ashley and her two kids. You know, as you know, it takes a lot to raise two kids. So with having a 4-week-old and a 2-year-old, there are a lot of expenses. So we decided to help her out and plan something like this on a larger scale.
Okay. Is there, you may not know this or may not be relevant, is there a number you've already hit, or is there a goal in terms of all this money you're raising?
We haven't compiled any numbers as of yet, but I'm really hoping to do between 800 to 1,000, excuse me, 800 to 100,000 for Ashley.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's talk about this event because it sounds like a very cool thing to go to this weekend at the fairgrounds. It's on Friday night, right?
Yes. Friday night, September 15th from 6 p.m. to midnight. It will be held in the North Wing at the fairgrounds, Fair and Expo Center. The tickets can be purchased online. Everything actually can be found online at honornick.com. Tickets are $10. That includes free parking, a dinner. We have over 50 restaurants who have generously donated dinner for the event. We will have a silent auction, live auction. While they last, we have Jeep raffles for a 2017 Jeep Cherokee Sport.
Wow.
Generously donated by Craig and Landreth. So we will raffle those off until we are out of raffle tickets. We have a live auction with a lot of great items. We've got a trip to Paris. We have a trip to New Orleans. We have a trip to Disney, a package at a Millionaire's Row at Churchill Downs. We've got a lot of great items. So we've got a DJ and maybe a special guest singer lined up.
A surprise. Okay.
So, yeah, come on out. 6 p.m. to midnight, the north lobby of the fairgrounds.
All right. And what's the ticket cost to get in?
Tickets are $10. And again, everything can be found online. You can go ahead and sign up for the silent auction online.
And all the money goes to Ashley and the kids.
Right.
So that's really great. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, police are a big issue here. And certainly we want this fundraiser to be successful. It's a dangerous position. You know, I think families of police officers, you know, they have a special place, right? It's a different way to live.
True. It is. My husband and I have been married for 25 years. So, the 27 years that we've been together, I think the last 26 and a half, we've spent working opposite shifts. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, a lot of different shifts, but we make it work.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you yourself have three kids.
I do.
They're sort of like mine. They're mostly grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And your husband, Rick, I know, coached my son, Josh, in Little League. And he is sort of moved up in the police department. Right.
He has a different position now. He's still with LMPD. He is now a detective. So he has a little bit more sane hours. We're kind of on the same page again after all these years, which is kind of nice.
And he was Rick was close to Officer Rodman. I guess they were partners at one point.
They were beat partners. Yes. So yeah, they did work together in the first division. So.
Okay, how would you say that Ashley is handling certainly it's been a tough period.
Yeah, I think she is just day by day. She's very strong. She's stronger than she realizes, I think, but it's day by day.
Mm-hmm. Do you think in terms of, you know, the danger of the job? We see a lot in the media about officer shootings, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you would like to see done differently or handled differently in terms of the way we respond to these shootings?
Gosh, that's a tough one. I can't think of anything.
It's just I guess it's just a part of the job, and you know every day that there's a possibility that something's going to happen.
Sure.
I guess, and more so than any other type of job. How do you cope with that?
Well, a lot of prayer, a lot of prayers. You know, we just trust and know that they've been trained well, and yeah, we just hope that they come home at the end of every shift.
Mm-hmm. I know this. Most people in Louisville are familiar with this case because the perpetrator ran his car into Officer Rodman's car, but he had a long criminal record and was involved in drugs and just a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's hard to realize when people, I guess, get desperate. They do desperate things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes officers get in the way of what they're trying to do, I
right.
guess. So the case is, we know who did it, and the case is in the court system
right.
at this point.
Right.
Okay. Have you... through this process, I guess you've dealt with, I know at the funeral, Chief Conrad, the mayor, everybody was out. I mean, it shook the city a little bit, I think.
It did. It was a rough couple of days. My husband, Rick, gave part of the eulogy at Southeast Christian as a friend of the family. He was asked to do so. So, yeah, it was a rough few days.
And, well, you know, fortunately, there's little good that could come out of it, but I've read a lot of stories about some of the fundraisers, involvement with Louisville baseball, and this big thing on Friday night. I can't say enough. It would be wonderful to be able to turn over a big check.
Yes, it would. It would.
And okay, well, let's go over the details again. It's Friday night at the fairgrounds.
Uh-huh.
And if you go to honornick.com, you can get tickets for $10.
$10.
Mm-hmm. And a whole bunch of things.
And
can you talk about any of the restaurants just off the top of you? I know you said there's a lot of them involved.
Yeah. I don't want to miss any, but some of the few that come to the top of my head, Aspern Creek, Olive Garden, Texas Roadhouse, which I'd never heard of, but it's a sandwich shop, apparently. Oh gosh, I'm trying to think. I'm drawing a blank.
There's more than
tons of them.
There's tons of them, so there's plenty to eat, and it should be an outstanding event with DJs, and you're not going to tell me what the surprise is.
I can't tell you because I don't even know for sure that it's going to happen. But I've been told it's a strong possibility, and I've got that list pulled up now with the restaurants. So Aspern Creek, Beer Nose, Buca di Beppo, Buffalo Wild Wings, Chatterbox, City Barbecue. Yeah. I mean, it goes on and on. So we've got a lot of neat stuff. Again, the tickets are $10. There's a silent auction that is going on now. So you can actually go to honornick.com, register for that silent auction, and start bidding on some of those. We got a lot of liquor. A lot of liquor in that silent auction. We have a lot of neat stuff too. So you can go ahead and go out and start bidding on that now. Some of those items are up there. They're up there already.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful event, a wonderful thing you're doing, Dawn, to raise money for this family and support police officers all around. Unfortunately, this is the kind of thing that happens occasionally, and you know, it's important to support the people who put their lives on the line every day.
It is. I agree. It's something very small for me, but I hope it helps Ashley and her kids for sure.
All right, and that's going to do it for the Rusty Satellite Show this week. I know I'm running a little long. The interviews were so great, I couldn't cut them off, and then I got to rambling in the middle part of the show. But I do want to thank my friends at Passport Health Plan for sponsoring the show. It's always great to have their support and the support of our producer, Dan Vonderhyde, and all the people who help me get this stuff together every week to do the most interesting podcast in the Ville, right? The Rusty Satellite Show. Tell your friends about it. You can find it in all sorts of ways on iTunes and on Louisville.am and on RustySatelliteShow.com. You can also hear about other things going on in Louisville at my website, LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. There's a lot to keep up with, but if you keep up with me and what I'm doing, I'll point you to some really fun and exciting things to do. You can also suggest future guests or suggestions for the show. You can look me up on Facebook. It's Rick Redding, easy to find, and I think I'm the only one on Facebook, and I'll accept your friend request. So do that and suggest a guest for the show. I've already got some people lined up, I think, for next week. It's going to be a great show. Looking forward. Hope you enjoy this weekend. Go ahead and do something fun, and we'll be back next week with another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.